Today's daf is Brachos daf Gimel. We left off in daf Beis Amid Beis. We were a few lines from the bottom of the page. We didn't quite get to the end of the daf. We were holding up the two dots, four lines before the end of the page. If you recall, the Mishnah started discussing this man of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, and the Mishnah gave us one shita as to what the earliest time to read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is, and three shitas in terms of the latest time to read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. So even though the Mishnah only gave us one shita as to the earliest time, the Gemara and Beis Amid Beis spent a lot of time giving us various different shitas and formulations of what the earliest time might be. So working off of those various different shitas, we had said that Rabbi Meir had suggested at one point that it's the time, the earliest time is really the earliest time to say Shema is the latest time a Kohen can be Tovel if he wants to eat Truma that night, which means it's when it's still Vadayom, Kohen could still go to the mikvah and he could eat Truma that night after he has Harav Shemesh. So Rabbi Yehuda asked him that, what are you talking about? If that's Vadayom, that can't possibly be considered the Zman of B'shach Lecha, when a person goes to sleep. So the Gemara now is going to go back to that Kasha that Rabbi Yehuda asked of Rabbi Meir. Amr Mar, we just said before, Amr Le Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir, V'alo Kohanim Yibod Yomim Tovlim, that Kohanim even go to the mikvah during the day. The latest time they can go to the mikvah is still broad daylight, and no one's going to sleep at that time. So Frek the Gemara, Shapir, Kam Le Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda seems to have a very strong taina on Rabbi Meir, so what's Rabbi Meir going to respond? Answers the Gemara of Rabbi Meir, Hachi ka amarlei, mi sabrit ana abein ashmashos tidoch ka amina, ana abein ashmashos Rabbi Yosi ka amina. Rabbi Meir would respond, the only reason you have a problem with my suggestion of the latest time of Kohen going to the mikvah being the same as the earliest time to read Shema is that you think the latest time of Kohen going to the mikvah is way before nightfall. You assume that Ben Hashmashos is a protracted period of time, and therefore if you're going to go to the mikvah before Ben Hashmashos, it's well before nightfall. But I don't define Ben Hashmashos as an extended period of time. I define Ben Hashmashos the way Rabbi Yossi defines Ben Hashmashos. Dom Rabbi Yossi, famous comment, Ben Hashmashos keherafayim. The Rabbi Yossi says Ben Hashmashos is like the blink of an eye. Ze nichnas v'ze yotze. Day goes out, night comes in. Night goes out, day comes in. It all happens in a matter of seconds. V'ef shalom adolav. We just don't know exactly when that blink of an eye is. But the latest time a kohen can go to the mikvah is literally a blink of an eye before nightfall. So it certainly is a time that we could say is b'shach b'cha, when a person is getting ready to go to sleep. So now the Gemara just asks, from all the other different shitos that we quoted in the various brisos, that it seems that there are certain contradictions in the brisos. Kashad Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir. We mentioned Rabbi Meir twice. First, we mentioned Rabbi Meir about 15 lines down in Beis Amid Beis, 20 lines down, where we said that it's the time that Bnei Adam nichnasun lechol pitan ba'arve shabbosos, that the earliest time for Shema is when a person eats his meal on Erev Shabbos. And then later on, about 12 lines before the end of the page, we quoted Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir mishas shokhanim tovlin lechol b'trumasan, the one we were just referring to, that it's when Kohanim could go to the mikvah. So isn't that two different zmanim? Answers the Gemara, yes, those are two different zmanim, and they're both authored by Rabbi Meir, apparently, but trei tanaya libd Rabbi Meir. You have to say, it's a machlokas tanayim as to what the tradition was of what Rabbi Meir actually said. Says the Gemara, which we generally don't like to say, because as Rashi points out in Maseches Ksuvos, that whenever you have a machlokas tanoim about what somebody had said, you're unable to say elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. Elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim means they're both somewhat right. But Rabbi Meir could not have said both of these things, so we wouldn't say elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim on such a thing. But no, we have no choice. We have two statements from Rabbi Meir that cannot be reconciled with each other. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir is not the only one who we can't reconcile. Kashad Rabbi Eliezer ad Rabbi Eliezer. We have Stir and Rabbi Eliezer as well. Why? Because on Beis Amid Beis yesterday we had Rabbi Eliezer who had a shita that where was Rabbi Eliezer? That Rabbi Eliezer was the one who said that we had first of all in the Mishnah that the Mishnah told us that the earliest time to read Shema is when the Kohanim are nechnas and lechol b'trumasan, when the Kohanim can go and eat their truma. So and Rabbi Eliezer told us the latest time is after the first third of the night. So we're assuming that first line of the Mishnah about the earliest time is in agreement with Rabbi Eliezer as well. So we're assuming it's the same Rabbi Eliezer. But then we had Rabbi Eliezer saying in the Braisa, about 15 lines before the end of Beis and Beis, Mishal Shekidei Shayom Ba'arvei Shabbosos, that it's the time that Shabbos begins. It doesn't seem to be the same time that Kranami Truma. So answers the Gemara, Trei Tanai, Yalib de Rabbi Eliezer. Again, you have to say the same thing, that it's Machlokas Tanam, what Rabbi Eliezer really said. V'Yisema Reisha Lav Rabbi Eliezer. Or you could say that just because Rabbi Eliezer's name is the first name to appear in our Mishnah, it doesn't mean that he agrees with everything that was said in the Mishnah up until that point. Maybe the Tanakama who says that the earliest time to say Shema is when Kohanim meet their Truma is someone else. And then just in terms of the latest time, we happen to quote three shittos, the first of which is Rabbi Eliezer. But Rabbi Eliezer does not necessarily agree with the Tanakama as to the earliest time to say Shema. Then the Mishnah went on, Ad Sof HaShemur, were 4 lines from the top and Gimel Amud Aleph. So when can you say Shema? Until Rabbi Eliezer, until the end of the first watch. So Micah Sof Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer hold in terms of how many Mishmaros there actually are? Ika Sof HaShalosh Mishmaros Havi Alay Lele Me'ad Abrashos. If he holds that the night is divided into three watches, so good, 12 divided by 3 is 4, so obviously he holds it's up until 4 hours into the night. So why don't you just say that? Say it's up until 4 hours into the night, instead of telling me this vague reference to Mishmaros. V'kasavar arba Mishmaros havi alayla, and if he holds the night, it's divided into 4 watches, so obviously 12 divided by 4 is 3, so after one Mishmar would be after 3 hours. Lema ad shaloshal, so say up until 3 hours. He's sacrificing accuracy of the report to teach us this, bring in this this idea of a Mishmar, but we don't know what he holds in terms of Mishmaros. So he makes his Shita so much more vague. Why doesn't he just give us a number of hours? Says Umar Leon Ksavar Shalosh Mishmaros Havei Laila. Really, Rabbi Eliezer does hold the night is 3 Mishmaros, divided into 3 even parts of 4 hours each. V'hakamashmalan, and when he gives me a simon to tell me that that Kriya Shema is after the first Mishmar, he's telling me that there are certain simanim in what goes on in this world to be able to tell when that happens. If you observe what's going on around you, you'll be able to know when the Mishmaros switch. Dika Mishmaros Barakiya, Dika Mishmaros Ba'ara. There are Mishmaros up in Shemayim, there are Mishmaros down here. Detanya Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shalosh Mishmaros Havi Alayla. There are 3 Mishmaros in the night. I'll call Mishmar, Mishmar Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shoi Kari. And by every Mishmar Hashem sits and roars like a lion. Shenemar Hashem Yimarom Yishag Yimimon Kocho Yitin Kolo, Shog Yishag Al Navehu. V'simen L'davar, Mishmar Rishon HaChamor Noer. The simen to know what these Mishmaros are is in the first Mishmar, the donkey, whatever donkey does, braise, I guess. Shnia kalavim tzoakim. In the second Mishmar, the dogs are barking. Shlishis tinok yonek mishadeimo. And by the third Mishmar, the baby is awake and he's nursing from his mother. V'isha mesaperes in baila. And husband and wife are already not sleeping in bed and they're talking to each other already. That's in the last Mishmar of the night. So says the Gemara, Michael Chashav Rabbi Lazar. But wait a second. He gives 3 events that occur by which you can tell those Mishmaros. What does that mean? But when those events occur, you can tell that it's the beginning of each Mishmar, or when those events occur, you can tell that it's the end of each Mishmar. So what exactly does he mean by this? Itchilas Mishmaros Kalchashiv, Tchilas Mishmar Rishona Siman Alamli, or to who? If he's telling me the beginning of each Mishmar, do I really need a simon of a donkey braying to tell me when the first Mishmar starts? I know when the first Mishmar starts, when it's dark outside, when it's night, the end of the day, beginning of the night, is the beginning of the first Mishmar. And Isof Mishmaros Kalchashiv, and if he's coming to tell me when the Mishmaros end, so that's great for the first and second Mishmar, I need to look at for some sort of simon for when they end. But Sof Mishmar Achrona Lamali, Lamali Simana, Yimamahu, why do I need a simon to tell me the end of the last Mishmar? It's daytime, so when night ends and day begins, I know that it's the end of the last Mishnah. So says the Gemara, 2 possible answers. Possibility number 1, Elachashiv Sof Mishmar Rishona, Utchilas Mishmar Achrona, Ve'emtsois Temtsiitsa. The 3 simanim are when the first Mishmar ends is the donkey braying. The second one about the dog barking is in the middle of the second Mishmar. And the third one is when the baby nurses, etc., is the beginning of the third Mishmar. And those are the simanim. The Ibai Sema, the second possibility is Kulu sof mishmaros kachashiv. Maybe he's telling me the end of each of the mishmaros. Ah, you ask, why do I need to know the end of the last mishmar? Can't I just look out the window and see if it's light outside? So v'chi tem achrona lo tzarich, l'may nafkamina that there's a simon for the last mishmar, I could just look out the window. The mikri kriyashma l'madagoni b'bay yisafel, v'lo yodazman kriyashma emas. Now it is very helpful for someone who's sleeping in a dark house and he doesn't know when the zman kriyashma actually is. So if he's, like they have in Israel, the trisim, you could spend 24 hours in inside and not know when it's day, when it's night, because it's completely dark in the house. So if a person has no idea when the Zman Kriya Shema is, he could just listen very carefully for the baby crying, listen very carefully to see if he's awake talking with his wife, and then he'll know about the end of the last Mishmar. So Kimin Deishim is a parasim baila, v'tinok yonik, mishada imo, leikum v'likri. Now it's time to get up and to say Kriya Shema. Tosfos just points out that Rabbi Eliezer, Achi Yaakov ben Tchelis Lekarti, the Lezer actually requires a little bit later for Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, that it's not good enough to have the end of the last Mishmar. It has to be enough light outside to be able to recognize the difference between blue and green, which requires a good deal of light. So he says, no, mikol makom kiven sheyada masayalam al hashachar, kodem sheyakum v'yazman atzma kvar yigia oso es. By the time you get out of bed and you get ready, by that time, that once you know when the night ends, so you should be able to cheshbon in your own mind how much more time you need till you get to the point of being makir ben tchelis lekarti. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel vayter in the Gemara Mishmei Derav. Gimel mishmaros havi alayla. There are three mishmaros in the night. Val kol mishmar mishmar Yosef Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'shoi kari. And on each mishmar Hashem sits there and roars like a lion. Va'omer oy lebanim shabav v'nasayim v'chrapti esbesi v'shrapti eschali v'glisam l'beinu masolam. And he says, woe unto my sons, that unto my children, that in their sins I have destroyed my Beis Hamikdash, I have burnt down my Heichal, and I have sent them into galus amongst the masolam. So the Gemara expounds on this idea of Hakadosh Baruch Hu lamenting the churban a little bit further. Tanya, with the following brisa, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Pam achas yisi mahalich bederech v'nechnasi l'chor ba'achas m'chor v'yizu shlaim l'spalel. Rabbi Yossi says, one time I was going in the on the road, and I entered into a certain churva amongst the chor v'yizu shlaim, a rune amongst the runes of Jerusalem. Ba Elio zachol atov v'shamali ala Pesach, and Elio Anavi stood there and guarded me by the doorway. Ad shesiyamti tfilasi, until I finished my tfila. La'achar shesiyamti tfilasi, Amar li shalom alecha Rabbi. Once I finished my tfila, so Elio Anavi greeted me by saying, Shalom Alecha Rabbi, va'amarti lo, and I responded to him, says Rabbi Yossi, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umori, va'amar li, b'ni, v'b'nei ma nechnas l'chor b'zu, and Elio Navi challenged me, and he said, what are you doing going into a ruin? Amarti lo l'spalel, so I said, I had to daven, va'amar li, ha'yil lecha l'spalel b'derech, so Elio Navi said, no, you should have davened on the road, va'amarti lo, I said back to him, Misyari ayisi shami yafsiku b'yovri drachim, I was afraid that if I davened on the road, I would become distracted by the ovri drachim, by the passers-by. Va'amr li and Eliyahu HaNavi said back to me, okay, if you're afraid of getting distracted with a long tefillah on the road, at least you should have davened a short tefillah, the tefillah of Havinenu, we're going to get to later in the Masechta, how to do an abridged version of the Shemona Esrei. So that's what you should have done. You shouldn't be davening a long Shemona Esrei in a churva where it's very dangerous. So Baos Hashal Madim Menushlo Shadvarim, says Rabbi Yossi, from this brief conversation I had with Eliyahu HaNavi, I learned three important halachos. First of all, Lamadati Shein Nechnasan L'churva. I learned that you're not supposed to go into a dangerous place like a churva. Number two, Lamadati Shemespalim Bederech. I also learned that you're allowed to daven on the road when you have no other choice, because he asked me why I didn't daven on the road. And number three, v'lamadi shemespal b'derech mespal tefila katsara. Third thing I learned is, when you're going to daven on the road, you should daven tefila katsara. Because when I told him that the reason I didn't daven on the road was becoming distracted, he said, no, of course, daven on the road, it's tefila katsara. That's what you're supposed to daven. Va'amarli, and then the conversation continues. Bini, Eliyahu HaNavi says further, makol shamata b'chor v'zu, what did you hear when you were in this churva? Va'amarti lo, and I told him, shamati baskol sheminahemes kiyona. I heard a baskol that was groaning like a dove when I was in the churva. Va'omeres, and the baskol was saying, oy lebanim shabav anaseim echrafti esbesi v'sarafti eschali v'iglisim lebeinu umos. And the baskol was saying, woe unto the children that in their sins I have destroyed my Beis HaMikdash, I have burnt my Heichal, and I have sent them to Galus amongst the Umas HaOlam. It's interesting. Previously, the imagery we had was HaKadosh Baruch Hu being shoeg ka'ari, that he was roaring like a lion. Now, in this report, he says the baskal sounded more like a wounded dove that was groaning like a dove. It's a very different imagery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attitude in lamenting the Churban. Is it one of anger, of roaring like a lion, of koach, or is it one of woe unto us, one of a peaceful dove, who is the exact opposite of a lion, that's just so saddened by what has happened? So this Gemara is Omer Darsheni. The Gemara is begging for a drasha. Anyway, he says, Va'amar li, Chayecha v'chayerosh, Chaliyo HaNavi said, ah, that's what you heard, you should know. Lo sha zu bilvad, Omer Eskach. It's not only at this moment that this happens, Ela b'kol yom v'yom shalosh pa'omim, Omer Eskach, but actually 3 times a day, this Baskol says like this. V'lo zu bilvad, Ela b'shah she'yisrael nechnas l'batik nasiyos l'batim drashos, V'on yehesh me'agadol mevorach. And it's not only those 3 times of the day, but rather every time the Jewish people go into Bata Knesios and Bata Midrashos, and they answer Yehei Shmei Agadol Mevarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Minanei Arosho Va'omer Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsinos HaBebeso Kach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shakes his head and says, fortunate is a melech who gets praised this way in his house. Rashi says, what does it mean, his house? In the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is referred to as the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Shechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi that if you look at the halachos of the kavod that one has to show for a Beis HaKnesses and the kavod one has to show for the Beis HaMikdash, they're slightly different from each other. There's a more intense level of kavod one must show for a Beis HaMikdash. And it was Mevar, I think, from the Rav, that the idea is that the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses are both places where we meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Beis HaKnesses is called a Mikdash Ma'at. Mikdash Ma'at means we do the same thing we do in the Beis HaMikdash, but on a bit of a lower scale. So they're both meeting places with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Difference is, the Beis HaMikdash is meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his turf, in his house. In the Beis HaKnesses, Kilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to our house. And the halacha reflects that in the different levels of kavod. But that's why it's no accident that the Gemara refers to Bebeso Kach, in his own house, in this way. And Rashi says, what's his own house? Not the Batik Nasios and Batim Midrashos that the Gemara was just referring to. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying how fortunate it is that he gets praised in his own house, in the Beis HaMikdash, in this way. And therefore, Malo La'av Sheigel Ezbanav Va'ile Levanim Shegalu Me'al Shulchan Aviyem. Why did the father have to send the children into exile, and woe unto the children that they were exiled from their father's table? So there's a lot to talk about over here in this story. First of all, just Derech Agav, Rav Zilberstein in Chashuk Echemed was asked the following question. If the Mishtara the police have made an announcement that there's a dangerous person roaming around the neighborhood, and you find someone that's in the middle of davening, should you inform him so that he should stop his tefillah to avoid the danger, or should you let him just continue to daven? So we would say, well, if it's really dangerous, of course, stop him from davening. But how dangerous is it? It depends how big the neighborhood is, how dangerous this fellow is. So he said the following gather. Our Gemara tells this story where Eliyahu HaNavi stood outside and waited for Rabbi Yossi to finish davening. Frek the Iyun Yaakov, the commentary in the Iyun Yaakov. Why did Eliyahu HaNavi wait for him to finish davening? Why didn't he just go in there and say, you're in a churba, you're in a dangerous place, stop davening, get out of there now? So says the Iyun Yaakov, it's coming to teach us that even though, according to Eliyahu HaNavi, Rabbi Yossi was doing wrong by davening in the churba, so you're not supposed to start davening there. But once you start, you're not supposed to be mafsik either. So you see, in a sakana that's like the level of sakana that a churba is, you're supposed to continue davening, you shouldn't stop someone from continuing davening. And that's what Eliyahu was coming to teach Rabbi Yossi. However, and therefore, as long as the level of danger is churva or less, you would let him continue. But if the level of danger was more than churva, then you would stop him. That's what he wants to suggest. However, he says, had it not been for the Iyun Yaakov, he would have a better explanation as to why Eliyahu HaNavi waited until he was Messiah in the tefillah. Because perhaps he was batuach b'zuchuso shel Rabbi Yossi. He knew that nothing bad would happen because of Rabbi Yossi's great zuchus. Very similar to what the Gemara in Tainus Daf Chaf Aleph tells us about Nochemish Gamzu. That one time Nochemish Gamzu's bed was in a shaky house that looked like it was going to cave in at any time. And the Talmidim wanted to remove Nochemish Gamzu. I guess he was immobile and they had to remove him on his bed. They wanted to remove him and then remove all the kelim from the house. He said, no, remove the kelim first because I can assure assure you, as long as I'm here, nothing is going to fall in, nothing's going to cave in. Kolzman sha'ani bebayis, ein abayis nofel, because he understood what great zuchus he has. So maybe Eliyahu Hanavi was relying on that same great zuchus in that Rabbi Yossi has. That's one. Second issue, the baskol. What is baskol? So Tosos, the Masoros Shas already points us to Tosos in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, where Tosos describes what baskol is all about. That baskol relates to the idea that it's a havar. It's like an echo from a kol that comes out from Shemayim. It's not a direct kol. So just like a bas is an offspring of the original. So when we hear this kol, it's not the original kol. It's an echo of the kol min haShemayim, and that's why it's called baskol and not just kol. It's also a discussion, the Chuvas Arif and Siman Aleph, why it's called a bas kol and not a ben kol, why it's feminine and not masculine. Okay, very interesting discussion. But the most important discussion right here is about this statement that every time we say Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevarach, that is something that causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to lament the Churban and to wish we were able to do this in the Beis HaMikdash. Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevarach sounds almost exactly like a tefillah we say all the time, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach. So says Tosfos, it is the same tefillah. And our Gemara is a great indicator as to what the proper Kavana is in that line of Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach Le'olam Le'olmei Almaya. Says Tosfos, Mikan Yesh Listar, from here we can show that to contradict that it's against Mashi Pirush B'Machzor Vitri, what the Machzor Vitri understands, how the Machzor Vitri explains the phrase Yehei Shmei Rabba, where Machzor Vitri says Yehei Shmei Rabba Shezu Tefila Shanu Mespa that Machzor Vitri says Yehei Shmei Rabba is a tefillah that the Shem Hashem should once again be Rabba. It should once again be complete and great. Uperusho kachu Yehei Shmei Shem Ka, the Shmei, the Shem Yud K, Rabba should once again be full, be great. Kolomer Shalom Mispal Shmei Shei Shma Gadol B'Shalim. And then when you say Mevorach, that's a new thing. Mevorach Liolam Avi Tefillah Acheres Kolom Mevorach Liolam Abba. Mevorach Liolam is a separate line, a separate tefillah. We should be Mevorach Liolam Abba. Says Tosfos, doesn't sound that way from here, because we say over here Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevorach. Shmei HaGadol means his already great name, not that we're davening that the name should be great. So it sounds that what we're saying is that his already great name should be blessed, Le'olam Le'olmei Almaya, should be blessed forevermore. So it's all one big line, one big tefillah. So those are two deos in how to read Yehei Shmei Rabba, but our Gemara is a raya against the Machzor Vitri. Then Tosa says, also that which the Velt says, that the reason we say Kaddish in Aramaic and we don't say it in Hebrew, because it's such a beautiful, wonderful tefillah. So that's why we say it in Targum, so Malachim won't understand, because if Malachim understand it, they would become jealous of us. Says Tosfos, I don't understand that. I don't think that's correct at all. Is Kaddish our only nice tefillah that we think the Malachim are going to get all worked up about? We have so many wonderful tefillahs that we say in Hebrew, and we're not worried about the Malachim. So why do we taka say it in Aramaic then? Tosfos says, very simple. When do we say Kaddish? We say it Asidra de Kedushasa VaYehei Shmei Rabba de Basar Agadata, that we would say it after the Agadata Shir. And since we end the Shir, right, we end with Agadata and then Kaddish. So who comes to the Agadata Shir? There are always Amei Aratzim around, and the Amei Aratz don't speak any Hebrew. So we want them to understand, for them to understand the tefillah. It's not so that the Malachim won't understand the tefillah. Furthermore, you could question this idea that the Velt says, so the Malachim won't understand it. Is it true the Malachim don't understand Aramis? Is that they're not Mevinim B'Lashon Arami? Or that they're not Niskakin L'Lashon Arami? That they don't help the tefillos out when the tefillos are offered the Lashon Arami. Not abundantly clear which it is. The Tosos writes in Masechah Shabbos that he doesn't understand. Afilu machshavos shebelev ishem yodim. They even know machshavos in a person's heart. How could they not know Lashon Arami? It has to be that they understand Lashon Arami. So maybe they don't like Lashon Arami. They don't prefer Lashon Arami. But it must be that they understand Lashon Arami. So it wouldn't even help to avoid, to prevent the malachim from understanding it. But just to focus on this idea that Tosso says over here, that when do we say Kaddish? We say it when we learn Agadita. Rav Salvejik points out in the Rishima Shiurim that in fact there seem to be three different shitos as to when we say a Kaddish Drabbanan. Tosso says only after learning Agadita. You have a Halacha Shir, that's why we finish off. Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer, just so that we can have an Agadita, because you can't say a Kaddish just based on a Halacha Shir. It's got to be with an Agadita. However, the Rambam doesn't seem to say that way. The Rambam in Seder HaTfilah, the Nusach HaKaddish, writes, Kaddish Drabbanan kol asorim Yisrael lo yeser sha'oskim b'talmud Torah she'al peh va'afilu b'midrashos o mehagados. If you learn any Torah she'al peh, even Agadita, but any Torah she'al peh, you say Kaddish b'nusach zeh, yiskadel v'yiskadash me'erbah, etc. And he goes through the whole Nusach of the Kaddish Drabbanan. So you see the Rambam holds that it's a din in Torah she'al peh. Third shita, Rashi in Sota Memtesa Medal of Dibra Maskala Kedusha, sounds like he holds different than the Rambam and different than Tosfos. Rashi writes, V'chein Yehesh Mei Rabbim Varuch Shonan Achar Haggada, Sha'adarshan Doresh Berabbim B'kol Shabbos, Hayinogun Kach, V'yesh Kan Torah V'kiddush Hashem. Sounds from Rashi that there needs to be Haggada and Torah V'kiddush Hashem. What does that mean? Only after you make a drasha from a pasuk. That there should be a nice drasha, but the drasha has to be based in a pasuk. Stamina gadata, without a pasuk to anchor it, you wouldn't say the Kaddish Drabbanan. And that's why we say after Pita Maktores, Amar Rav Chanan, Talmidicham Ram Shalom Ba'olam, Shinam Rav Chal Banaich, Lumudei Hashem, Rav Shalom Banaich, Al Tikre Banaich, Ela Banaich, Hashem Ozei Amadei Hashem, Rav Zama Ba'Shalom. Right, we darshan from a pasuk, we give a Devar Drush from pasuk, so that we could follow up with a Kaddish, Kaddish Drabbanan. So, and that's why the last Mishnah in Shas, we finished Seder Taros. Amar Rav Shmuel Levi, Also Kodesh Baruch Hu, La'anchil L'chol Tzadik V'tzadik Sholosh Me'yosu Asaru Olamos, She'nemar La'anchil Lo V'yesh V'tzosoy M'malei. Based on a pasuk, it's got to be a drasha from a pasuk. So says Rav Salvechik, what's the Nakuda over here? He says, well, we find there are three functions that Kaddish serves. Sometimes you have Kaddish Drabbanan, which is for after Limud HaTorah. The Rambam after any Torah Shebal Peh, Rashi after Joshua from Pasuk, Tosos only after Agadita. But that's Kaddish Drabbanan, it's for after Limud HaTorah. Then you have a din of Kaddish HaMafsik, a Kaddish that breaks between two things. Like the Chatzi Kaddish after Pesukah Dezimra. It's Mafsik between Pesukah Dezimra and Birkos Kriya Shema. By Marv, you have Mafsik between Birkos Gal Yisrael and Shemona Esrei, to distinguish two different parts of davening. And then you have a Kaddish HaMashlim, a Kaddish that shows the completion of something. And we say Kaddish Shalem after Shemona Esrei, after Uvol Tzion Goel, right? To show that that's over, that the Tefillah is now over. And that's why there's a minhag that we say that such a Kaddish after Aleinu, even if there's no one there that tochiv to say the Kaddish, to finish, to symbolize the complete end of davening. So it could be that the Rambam holds the din of Kaddish Drabbanan is niskan al limud Torah that has a kiyum of Mesorah, that has a kiyum of continuing the Mesorah midor ledor. And any Torah Shebal Peh is a kiyum of the Mesorah. Torah Shebichsav is not necessarily a kiyum of the Mesorah. Goyim also have our Torah Shebichsav. It's Torah Shebal Peh that serves as a kiyum of Mesorah. And this is, it seems this way, in the way the Rif in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph Bedapei Rif quotes from Rav Netronoigon, where Rav Netronoigon holds that you have to say the Kaddish before you call up the Maftir, to distinguish and to show that the Maftir is not Nichlal B'minyan Zayin Kruim, that he's not included in the Zayin, in the Shiva Kruim, in the seven people that we call together. If the Kaddish after Kriyas HaTorah is a din of Kaddish Rabbanan on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then why would we dafka have to separate the maftir, and not count him to one of the Zion Kruim. No, what you see is that wouldn't be a Kaddish on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because there's no Torah Shebal Peh. It's only Torah Shebichsav that we read in Kriyas Torah. Why do we have a Kaddish at the end of Kriyas Torah? To show that it's a Kaddish HaMafzik, or a Kaddish HaMashlim, to show that Kriyas Torah is now over. We finished all the minyan, however number of people we've had to call up to the Torah, and now this is someone else. The maftir is someone else. What does Rashi hold? So good, that's the Rambam. The Rambam holds the din in Mesorah, that the Limud Torah of Mesorah is what's Mechayiv the Kaddish. The Rashi would hold that Kaddish Rabban is Niskan al Limud Torah of Divrei Nechama, that it's got to be based on a Pasuk, because all the Pesukim in Navi are all one big Cheftza of Divrei Nechama, telling us that there's a Churban, but don't worry, one day everything's going to be rebuilt. It has to be based on Divrei Nechama. Talmid Echam Ram Shalom Ba'olam, V'chol B'nayach M'udei What are these if not words of Nechama? So the Kaddish Rabbanan is similar to the Birchas HaTorah. The Birchas HaTorah are based on Emuna, Bitachon, and the Gula Asida. That's why after we read from Nevi'im, we discuss how we have Emuna and the Gula Asida, because it's all Divrei Nechama. And that's why we have this Kaddish Rabbanan. It's Dafka Kaddish Rabbanan on Divrei Nechama. Now, based on this, Rav Soloveitchik says the Machlok has Machzor Vitri. And Tosvos, the Machzor Vitri's vart, that Yeheshmei Rabba, is really a tefillah for Geula. It's a tefillah that the Shem Hashem should once again be complete. That fits very, very nicely with Shitas Rashi, that it's a din in Nechama. The Machzor Vitri fits beautifully with Rashi, that we say this Kaddish as a sign of Nechama, after Divrei Torah of Nechama, so the Kaddish is a tefillah about the Geula Asida. That's from Soloveitchik's analysis of this Gemara. Very, very beautiful analysis. Just another word or two before we move on. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us in Kufiyot Tesem Beis, anyone who's owned a main Yeheshmei Rabba b'kol kocho, Karn lo gzardino. If you answer Yeheshmei Rabba with your full kalach, so you get ripped up any bad gzardin. So Rashi says, what does kol kocha mean? It means kol kavanaso. It doesn't mean a physical manifestation of anything. It means mental focus. Whereas Tosa says, b'kol ram, to answer it very loudly. Now in Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Siman Nun Vav, Sif Aleph, that you need to answer b'kol ram. And the Magen Avraham quotes that Rabbeinu Yonah says that no, it means b'kol kavanaso. So that's the question. These are two different shittos. They're not saying the same thing. Kol ram and kol kavanaso are different things. It's interesting, Beis Yosef quotes that Yesh Omrin, that Yeheshmei Rabba, you only say Ad Olmaya. You only say up until the Yeheshmei Rabba Baruch Le'olam L'Olmei Olmaya. Why? Because in that phrase you have 28 letters. So that's what it means. Bekol Kocho. Bekol Chavches. In all of your Chavches, all of your 28 letters. However, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Medrash that really it's also to be mafsik between Olmaya and Yisbarach. And that's al pi sod, he proves this way. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you should not be mafsik at all between the words Almaya and Yisbarach. In the Bir Agra and the Maisa Rav and also in Hay, they show that you do, the Bir Agra shows that you do have to, proves that you do have to answer only until Almaya, and that you don't have to add in Yisbarach. You have to follow whatever the minig is, whatever the minig hamakom is in your given location. Okay, there is also a discussion of Zilberstein has over here. What if you have someone who's not a bar das who's saying Kaddish? Should you answer Kaddish? Because the halacha is Mishnah Berurah Chof Chav Dalet Siv Kut Mem Zayin writes that when a shota makes a bracha, you don't answer amen. So would you say the same thing about Kaddish? So it may depend, meaning on how we understand Kaddish, how we understand the amen of Kaddish. Is the amen of Kaddish part of the tefillah of Yeheshmei Rabba Mvarach, which is really its own distinct tefillah that all the people who are answering are saying? So it has nothing to do necessarily with what the shota is saying. It's its own distinct tefillah of Kiddush Hashem. Or no, maybe the amen is a response to what he said, and then Yeheshmei Rabba is its own distinct tefillah. Okay, that's also machlokas in the poskim. How to view the rest of Kaddish. Okay, let's see weiter now in the Gemara. So we're holding now two lines from the bottom of the page. Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan b'nei shel shedvar meinu chasan l'churba. There are three reasons why we don't go into a churba. Mipnei chshad. Number one is we're concerned that people are going to be choshed that you brought a zona into the churba and you're just trying to find a private private place to sleep with the zona. Also because it could cave in on you and you'll die. And there are negative spiritual forces out there in the churva. So why do I need three reasons? Let's say just that people are going to be choshed that you're with the zona. Isn't that enough of reason? I'm sorry. Let's say it's just that the roof is going to cave in. Isn't that enough of reason? Why do I also need the reason of chashad? Why isn't the reason of mapolis enough? Says Gemara, mapolis isn't always a legitimate concern. Bechadati, maybe it's a brand new churva and there's no concern of further damage happening anytime in the near future. But you still have to be worried that people are going to be choshed you. But still, why isn't mazikin enough? Why do I have to worry about chashad? Why do I have to say that the concern is chashad? Just say the concern is that they're mazikin. Says Gemara, betray. No, maybe there are two of you there, and it's known that these mazikin don't attack a group; it only attacks single individuals. So you betray chad namilak. Well, if there are two, then chashad namilak. Then there shouldn't be chashad either, because we know the halacha is in the end of Maseches Kiddushin in the Yichud Sugyas that a woman, the Mishnah tells us in Kiddushin of Peyam and Beis, is allowed to be misyached with two men. So if there are two men, then you don't even have chashad. So it says, no, betray upritzi. With two regular men, you don't have, two kosher men, you don't have chashad. But you do have chashad with two men who are both prutzim. Then you would have a concern of chashad. So the Ran already discussed at the end of Kiddushin, how do we define prutzim? Is prutzim someone who's an unusual parutz and a stam ben adam is considered a kosher? Or do we assume, no, that stam ben adam are considered prutzim? You need to be very special and like a very chash of a person in order for us not to be choshed when it's two men and one woman. So the Ran writes, from the Lashon of the Gemara, sounds like stam b'nei adam are not huchsak b'pritzus, they are ksherim. That prutzim means people who are bad guys. That's what the Ramah writes in Ebenezer Simchav Beis, si'if hey. However, nevertheless, there are Rishonim that seem to say otherwise, and it's based on that Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara over there talks about two of the Amoraim that are walking down the road, and they, even though it was two of them, they wanted to get away from the woman because they were afraid that it would be Nisu Yichud. What do you mean it was two of them and they were Gedolei Amoraim? No, they said, so one of the, I forget who it was already, but one of the Amoraim said, no, it's only like great men, like people of the previous generation that are considered Ksherim. We're not considered Ksherim. So apparently if the Amoraim are not considered Ksherim, then certainly we're not considered Ksherim in our generation. But the Ran points out, maybe he was just saying that as a guzma, that he wasn't really saying that literally as halachically, that he's not considered a kosher, that the Amoraim weren't considered ksherim, but that it's as a mukhumra that he wanted to accept upon himself. Anyway, so frankly, Gemara Vaiter, Mipneim Apoles. So we said the reason is because the roof might cave in on you. That's one of the reasons. Why do we need to give that reason? Why aren't the other two reasons good enough? So it's Gemara betray ksheri. Now, if there are two people, then there's no chshat, then there's no mazikin, and if they're ksherim, then there's no chshat either. So then the only concern you have left is mapolas, mipnei mazikin. So then we said one of the reasons is because of these demons, these spiritual forces. Well, again, why aren't the other two reasons good enough? The chashad of zona and that the roof might cave in on you. What do you need the concern of mazikin? The churva chadati. No, it's a new churva, so you don't have to worry about the roof caving in. Ubetrei v'ksheri, and it's two people who are kosher, so you don't have to worry about chashad either. Frankly, Gemara, betray mazikin namilaka, but then there are no mazikin either. If there are two people, no, b'makom and chayshinan. A churva is a place where mazikin hang out all the time. So we're extra careful in a churva about mazikin. We're going to be choshish for mazikin in a churva. Okay, vayter v'iba yaseima liolam b'chad u'b'churv chadati. Maybe it's only one person and it's a brand new churva, but the kai b'dabra, the churva is out in the middle of a field, in the middle of a desert somewhere. The hasim mishum chashad lekor, where you don't have to worry about a zona being there because the isha b'dabra lo shchicha. Women are not volunteering to go all the way out into the middle of nowhere. But you do have to worry about mazikin. There are four mishmaros throughout the night. Different Rabbi, that's Rabbi Shit. Rabbi Nasan Omer Shalosh. Rabbi Nasan says three. This is the machlokes tonight we alluded to on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. My time is Rabbi Nasan. Why does Rabbi Nasan hold three mishmaros? Where does he get that from? At the beginning of the Ashmoras Hatichona, the middle middle mishmar. So Tana Intichon El Sheish Lefnei Lachrod. Middle means that it's in the middle, that there has to be one before, one after, and it's the middle one. So therefore, there are three mishmaros. The Rebbe, my Tichona. What's Rebbe going to say? How's he going to translate Tichona? Achas mina tichonos shabit tichonos. One of the middle ones. Sometimes there are four children. The second one is one of the middle children. It's not the middle child. It's one of the middle children. So one of the middle mishmaros. Rabbi Nasr, Nasr would respond. Miksiv tichonos shabit tichonos tichonoksiv. It doesn't say one of the middle ones. It says the middle one. So that's why it's got to be that there are three. My time to Rabbi. Where does Rabbi get the idea that there are four mishmaros? Amar Rabbi Zeker, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Shoban Levi. Kasevech, Amar Chatzos Alay La'akum La'odes Chal Mishpatei Tzkecha. One pasuk says that David HaMelech says he gets up in the middle of the night to be Mod Takarosh Baruch Hu. Kasevech, Amar Kidmu Einai Ashmoros. That he wakes up two Ashmoros early. So Haketzad, how could that be that he's waking up two Ashmoros early and he's getting up right at midnight? So Arba Mishmoros Havelay. It must be that there are four Mishmoros in the night, and he's getting up two Mishmoros early, halfway through the night. For Rabbi Nassim, Savalak Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Nassim would respond, nah, that's not a raya. I held like Rabbi Yeshua. That your ladder be Kriyash Mashal Shachris up until 3 hours into the day, because that's when B'nai Melachim get up. Meaning, 2 hours after the day began, that's when a king is expected to get up. So when is David HaMelech getting up? At midnight. That means the whole night is 12 hours long. He's getting up 6 hours before the night ends. Plus, normally he would be able to sleep not only those 6 hours, but another 2 hours because he's a king. 6 plus 2 is 8 hours. 8 hours is two mishmaros. Shistalayla v'tarti dimama, the 6 hours of the rest of the night, the 2 hours of the beginning of the day, havalu shtei mishmaros. That equals two mishmaros. And that's why it means he got up two mishmaros early. Not literally two mishmaros, but the length of two mishmaros early by getting up at midnight. Ravashi amar mishmaru pal ganami mishmaros karlu. Ravashi says, sometimes we call a mishmar and a half mishmaros. That's how Rabbi Nosson could defend himself. That he got up a mishmar and a half early. He says, I got up two mishmaros early. Because a mishmar and a half, two mishmaros, same thing. That you could call one and a half, two as well. So that's a very interesting concept, that one and a half could be called two. Some sofer in a tshuva, in Or HaChaim Siman Mem Vav, discusses the possibility that maybe for Lech HaMishnah on Shabbos, you could be yotze with one and a half loaves of bread. Because mishmar palga, nami mishmaros kari lehu, so maybe you could say the same thing, that a loaf and a half is called Lechem Mishnah, it's called two loaves of bread. Problem is, there's a Gemara Mufarashas we're going to have later on in this Masechta, that everyone is mod that Pesach maniach prusa betoch hashlemu votzea, that you could have one prusa, one broken piece, because it says lechem oni. And Rav Lezer says, b'Shabbos, it's got to be shtei kikaros. Why? Because by Shabbos, lechem mishnah. So we see by Shabbos, apparently you're not yotze with a prusa. That echadu mechza is not good enough. Sounds pashtus from the Gemara that way. So, the Mesh of Davar, however, the Netziv in Chelek Aleph, Simin Chaf Aleph, also has a very unusual shita. He tries to prove that if you don't have full loaves, you could take shtei prusos, two part loaves, and be yotzei lecha mishnah with two partial loaves of bread. And his raya is based on the fact that the poskim write yotzei lecha mishnah lel pesach with a matzo prusa. Very shver raya, because that same Gemara tells us that Pesach is different than Shabbos. And also, maybe it's dafka if you have one shalem and a prusa that it would work. Meaning, like the Chassam Sofer says, like the Chassam Sofer, like the Milchus Yaakov also says that one and a half would work, because just like mishmaros, one full one and a half counts as two. But who says two halves work? The Nesiv goes even further. That two halves work. That's very, very difficult. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. We're on the second wide line on Gimel and Beis. V'amar Rabbi Zreika, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Einom Rufnei Meis El Dvar Shal Meis. You're only allowed to speak about matters relating to a dead body in front of a dead body. Amar Rabbi Yab Bar Kana, Lamar El Bidivri Torah, of Milyal Meleslan Ba. The problem is only speaking in Divri Torah in front of a Meis, but speak about other things is not such a problem. V'ikadamri Amar Rabbi Yab Bar Kana, Lamar El Afilu Bidivri Torah, the Kol Shemin of the Alma. Others say no, even Divrei Torah, which normally it's a chiv to speak in Divrei Torah, to talk and learning, even in Divrei Torah you're not supposed to speak in front of a mace. Obviously not to speak about what the Yankees did last night, you shouldn't do in front of the mace. Now it sounds like from the Gemara that it's only when the mace is a barhachi that he was a Talmud Chacham, because now he can't be, he's not able to speak the Brit Torah. It's a loig l'rash issue, right? That's what Rashi says. That it's a problem of loig l'rash. So it sounds like it's only if the mace was someone who otherwise would have been able to speak in the Brit Torah. However, in the Tshuvas of the Rimigash, in Simon Mem Zayin, he writes exactly the opposite. It's quoted in Shittim Betzes, Mabakamet to Zayin and Bez as well, that we don't see the Brit Torah before a mace, Dafka, if he wasn't a Talmud Chacham. But if he was a Talmud Chacham, then you're allowed to say Divrei Torah in front of him. Why? So he says there is another Gemara. The Gemara tells us that if Gemara might cut him, that if someone dies and he doesn't, there are no Avelim, so we're Moshivin Yeshiva Al Kivro, when a Talmud Chacham dies, rather. We're Moshivin Yeshiva Al Kivro. How can we set up a Yeshiva Al Kivro, Divrei Torah, right by his Kever, the dead person is? So says the Rimigash, yeah, for a Talmud Chacham, you're allowed to say Divrei Torah in front of him. Our Gemara is when we're not talking about a Talmud Chacham. Other Rishonim deal with this question differently. The Tosfos says that Oshivu Yeshiva Al Kivro, Tosfos writes that it means not Al Kivro Mamish, that you put the yeshiva nearest Kever, that you set up the yeshiva not directly by his Kever, but outside of Dalet Amos, because you can't talk in Divrei Torah right by his Kever. Other, the Rimigash suggests another yishuv perhaps between in the Stira, is that maybe when you have one or two people talking in Divrei Torah, that's no good, because that's not called the yeshiva. Moshivin Yeshiva Al Kivro means that you set up a whole yeshiva of Talmid Chacham, of a lot of Talmid Chacham speaking all the Kavod Ames. Okay, Vaitu Lingmar, but David Bepaga the Leila Avakai, wait a second. David showed off that he woke up at midnight. David woke up at midnight? Meurta Avakai. David woke up Meurta. What does Meurta mean? At the beginning of the night. Dichsev Kadamti Beneshef Yishaveya. That I woke up Beneshef, which means that very early in the beginning of the night, and I prayed. My Dahai Neshef Urtu. How do you know that Neshef means the beginning of the night? Dichsev Beneshef Barav Yom Beishon Levafela. Because the Pasuk says like that. So Amra Boshia, Amra Biacha, Hachi Kamar. Now, this is what's going on. How could David HaMelech on the one hand say he woke up at the beginning of the night, and on the other hand say that he woke up in the middle of the night? May olam lo avar alai chatzos laila b'sheina. What he means to say is that he never slept through midnight. He always woke up by midnight at the latest. Rabbi Zeira amar ad chatzos laila yimisnam nim kusus, that up until chatzos he would doze off like a horse. Mikan ve'elachay miskaber kari. And after that he would gird himself and strengthen himself like a lion. Ravashi amar ad chatzos laila haya osik b'divrei Torah, that up until chatzos he would learn Torah. Mikan ve'elach b'shiros t'sishvachos. And then he would compose Tehillim after that. He would be involved in shiros t'sishvachos. V'neshev ortu, says the Gemara, wait a second, does Neshev really mean night? HaNeshev Tzafru, we find a different passage where Neshev means daytime. Dichsiv Vayakim David Me'a Neshev V'ado Erev L'macharasam, that David would smite his enemies from Neshev until Erev. So my love mitzafra ad laila, doesn't that mean from morning till night? Says the Gemara, lo, Me'orta ad orta, means from one night till the next night. So if it means one night till the next night, Yachli liftov Me'a Neshev V'ado Neshev O Me'a Erev ad Erev. So why use two different words to mean the same thing? Say either Neshev ad Neshev or Erev ad Erev. Why Neshev ad Erev? Sounds like Neshev means day and Erev means night. Elam Rav Trei Nashvi Havu. Neshev Laile Vasi Yimama, Neshev Yimama Vasi Laile. There are two Nashvi, there are two things that are called Neshev. The night goes away and the day comes. Neshev means to like float away. The night floats away and the day arrives. The day floats away and the night arrives. So frankly, Gemara, V'David Mi'av Yadda Palga Laile Amos. How did David know when it was exactly midnight? Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu Laavi Yadda. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even know when it was exactly midnight. Tichsiv Kachatzos Halayla Ani Yotzi B'sok Mitzrayim. My Kichatzos. What does it mean? You want to tell me that Hashem told him he's going to come around Chatzos? Well, Hashem's not so punctual. Does Hashem not know exactly when Chatzos is? No, what happened was Hashem says, I'm going to come exactly at midnight. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kichatzos. Alma Masafkle. Must be because Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know how to calculate exactly when midnight is. So if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know exactly when midnight is, David Aviyada, David would know something that Moshe Rabbeinu knows. So why is that such a kasha? That David HaMelech would know something that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know. Is that really such a terrible kasha? So this is this seems to make the assumption that Moshe, as the Adon HaNevi'im, would be privy to any information that would be told in Nevuah that David HaMelech would be privy to. Meaning, as it must be B'toras his Nevuah that he would figure this out, that it's not just an astronomical calculation. Because I don't think there is any Iker in our Emunah that you have to believe Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest scientist that ever lived. We have to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi that ever lived. So B'toras Nevuah, you have to assume that's the only way one would know exactly kichatzos, so therefore it's impossible that David would know and Moshe would not know. Let me just close. This is the second time in this daf where this idea of nevuah versus stam chachma comes up. We said before that that Rabbi Yossi in that story with Eliyahu HaNavi said that he learned three things from Eliyahu HaNavi. So the Maariv Chayes points out in the back of the Gemara over here that Rashi in Shabbos Kuf Chesam and Aleph says that ad sheyovo Eliyahu v'yomar, when you say certain things will remain in doubt until Eliyahu clarifies them. So Rashi writes Isser v'heter ein talibo delo b'shamayim hu, that Eliyahu HaNavi cannot paskin for us based on his nevuah because it's not b'shamayim. So how can we learn any dinim from Eliyahu HaNavi? How's that shaykh that we're learning dinim from Eliyahu HaNavi? So says Maariv Chayes, Eliyahu HaNavi, in addition to being a Navi, was also a Talmud Chacham. That which Rabbi Yossi was learning from Eliyahu, the Allah Rabbi Yossi was learning from Eliyahu, was not from Eliyahu B'toras Navi, it was from Eliyahu B'toras Talmud Chacham. That's the question. When we say Teku, my fifth grade Rebbe taught us, Teku means Tishvi Yataritz Kushios V'Yibayos. So Eliyahu HaNavi is going to answer all of our kashas, all of our kushios v'yibayos. Is he even allowed to answer all of our kushios v'yibayos? So the answer is not b'toras nevuah. He's not allowed to answer our kushios v'yibayos, or we wouldn't be able to. It's lo b'shamayim he, but b'toras Talmud Chacham, he'd be able to answer our kushios v'yibayos. This is the idea that every navi is not every navi. Bilam wasn't a Talmud Chacham, but the great neviim in Klal Yisrael were not only great in terms of their nevuah, they were also great chachamim, and those may be two very different characteristics of being a Navi and being a Talmud Chacham. But anyway, we're leaving it off here with the Kasha. Again, the Kasha is, how could David HaMelech know exactly when Chatzos HaLaila is, and Moshe Rabbeinu not know exactly when Chatzos HaLaila is? Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the three Terutzim to this Kasha.